Reading this morning is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you gently rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Don't anybody get excited. That's the only slide. Yvonne called me and told me she was going to put a slide up there, and I said, okay, but let's don't get carried away. I still don't do slides. Good morning to everyone. Ben is out of town. Jerry Bullard came out in the hall a while ago after class and shook my hand and said, boy, Ben, you've changed. And I thought, that ought to be easy enough to figure out. He wears a bow tie. I wear a straight tie. So there should be no problem there at all. In 2 Peter 3, if you look at the top of your Bible, mine says the day of the Lord will come. And Peter talks about judgment day and the things that will happen on that day. And it's where we have the famous phrase with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years is one day. As he talks about judgment, he talks about the fact that God wishes that all would repent and come to salvation, that all of us would come to him, knowing the things that we need to do. And since all this is coming, down in verse 11, he asks a question. He says, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? And so with this in mind this morning, I want us to think for a few minutes about an area of our work as Christians that we ought to be thinking about, and that ought to be a part of our mission as the Lord's church, and that is the ministry of encouragement. We live, and James, I might say thank you for your prayer this morning. You hit on so many of the things that I want to talk about this morning. And certainly, as he mentioned in his prayer, we live in a dark world right now. We live in a world that's filled with discouragement. Every day we look and we see global struggles and wars, and we see many, many precious souls being lost at one time in these areas. In our own country, crime is rampant, and we just witnessed the horrible happening in Las Vegas. And what it says to us is that it seems that there's not really any boundaries for evil anymore, and we see it in so many places. Corruption shows up in our own places of business. We see corruption in sports. We even see corruption in government. And when you look at it, it's spurred by greediness and selfishness and godlessness. Family units struggle, mostly because they haven't looked to God's wisdom for how the family unit ought to be, but their own wants and their own wishes. Many people lose jobs today because of our economy that goes good and bad. And yet with all of these things happening, there still seems to be a great push to eliminate God from nearly every activity in our society, instead of looking to him for wisdom and for guidance. Sadly enough, even in our own churches, we're being challenged by biblical indifference. We're hearing people sharing that anything we choose to add to our beliefs is acceptable to God, just as long as we say, well, we love him. We see others, totally ignorant of God's word, advocate doctrinal principles that are totally foreign to God's wisdom in God's ways. And we hear all of these things and we just kind of shake a little bit. And we say, where's it all going to end? When are the good things going to start? Where can I find something? I'm told that being a Christian is a wonderful way of life. When is there going to be something that I can be encouraged by? Well, let me share with you this morning that the encouragement we have as a body of Christ has been here for a while. Actually, more than 2,000 years. It's been there, and it will always be there. Our encouragement must come from the only true source of good. The giver of all good and perfect gifts is the only place that we can go. And, of course, that source is God. In the words of a beautiful hymn that we sing quite often here, there is a God. He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. And we need to understand it because even with all the ugliness in this world, we have not been abandoned. God is still there. God's still working with us. God's still looking out for us. We aren't lost. He knows where we are, and He's with us. You see, we're survivors. Paul said it this way, we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And we need to be encouraged by that. As the body of Christ, we have so many things that we need to be encouraged by. Zach just read from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. And if you listen very carefully to that, you find that God shares a lot of things with us here that encourage us as Christians. We're first encouraged that through God's mercy, we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that living hope is eternal life, to live with Him forever in peace and joy and love. He tells us for a little while we'll encounter various trials. But then He comes back and encourages us by telling us that our labor will not be in vain. There's a reason for it. There's a reason to stay with Him and to do His will. He tells us of an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled. It will not fade away. And He says it's reserved in heaven for His family of believers. He tells us that because of our belief and our trust and obedience to Him, that we can be filled with inexpressible joy. And folks, that's tough in our world today. But He said this is what it's all about as His children. We can have inexpressible joy with the things even that are going on around us. And He finishes that thought by telling us that the outcome of our faith will be the salvation of our souls in heaven. Certainly, there's a lot of things in our world that discourage us. But again, I'm reminded of another song that we love to sing here that ought to be the encouragement that we need to go on every day of our life. And it says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Because, see, our home's eternal. Our home's in heaven. Our home is not here on this earth. And I believe this morning, if as God's family here at Glenpool, if we really are encouraged by these thoughts, if these are the things that help us get up every morning and leave every morning and go out into this world, if these are things that we really believe, then this ought to be the message of encouragement that we share every day. With our families, with our friends, with our co-workers, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and certainly to the lost of this world. You look at the word encouragement. And from the original Greek, it means several different things. It can be translated to comfort, to console, to entreat or implore, to counsel, to urge, to challenge, to exhort. And when you look at all these definitions, you see really two areas of emphasis in the word encouragement. One, through encouragement, we can comfort and we can reassure. And secondly, through encouragement, we can challenge and we can admonish. See, as Christians, we are to comfort or challenge others in one way and one way only, and that's through God's Word. In a way that we can help motivate them to either begin a life of service for Jesus Christ, or that we can motivate them to continue living and serving in the Lord's work. Encouragement works out of compassion. Encouragement works out of love. Encouragement works out of a caring spirit for the other people, the other person. It's loving our neighbor as ourselves. It's about gentleness. It's about patience. It's about understanding. It's not about judgment or accusation or belittling or tearing down. It's about building up. Encouraging each other is such a vital part of our relationships with each other. God has encouraged every one of us with so many great and precious promises. It was God who sent to us through Jesus Christ a message of hope. Jesus came to this earth and he let every one of us know that his purpose was to seek and save the lost. His purpose was to give us a better way. His purpose was to encourage us that although sin was in the world, it didn't have to be the thing that guides our lives, but there was a better way. Paul tells us in Philippians 2 that we need to have that same attitude that Christ had in our lives. And as you and I work every day to reflect the image of Christ in our lives, we need to realize that we need to also share that character of Christ in our encouragement to other people. To let them know that that's important to us too, that we love you because you have a soul. And we want that soul to spend eternity in heaven. And we want to spend eternity in heaven. God shares so many passages about this need. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, Paul writes, "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." In the 12th chapter of Romans, verse 10, he says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." To the church in Thessalonica, he wrote these words in chapter 5, "Therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you're doing." And going back to Romans chapter 15, in the first two verses, Paul shares our role in encouraging other people. He says, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up." But you know what? We can't do this until we personally put on the image of Christ, until we personally recognize that we're servants, that we are under his control, that through the blood of Jesus, we do have that living hope that Peter talked about. And then we can share that with someone else. So who needs encouragement this morning? Anybody in this room right now that says, "I absolutely do not need to be encouraged"? I hope not. You know, I think if we're honest with ourselves, every one of us will have to admit that there are times when we need to be encouraged. Every one of us, from time to time. Is it mandatory? No. But you know what? A timely word of encouragement at just the right moment does something really good. In fact, it does more than one thing. One thing, it says, you know, somebody recognized that I did something that was good. And the fact that somebody saw it and recognized it and said something, I want to do it even better the next time. I want to be better in the things that I do. I want to look quickly at four different groups of people who especially need our love and our concern and our encouragement this morning. And the first group that I want to talk about are those in distress. You know, there are a lot of different kinds of distress that we can respond to with encouragement. And the scary thing about these things is that most of the time, most of these things come unannounced. And that being said, we are seldom ready for them. They happen. And it throws us into chaos many times because we're not sure why that some of these things happen. We think of sickness. Beyond sickness, we think of death. Family problems, all kinds of issues that come up in a family that maybe just hit us right in the face and we're not even ready for them. We never thought they existed. Financial burdens. I did some classes in college looking to possibly be able to share with families as a counselor. And certainly the first thing they talk about is infidelity, but the second thing is financial burdens. It's something that grabs us all, and it causes a great deal of heartache and a lot of stress. And we don't know where to turn sometimes with these things. I think one of the worst feelings that I've ever seen is to work in a place where I worked with young people who were just starting their lives. Maybe they bought their first car, their first home, and suddenly someone comes in and says, "You're being laid off." And you see that look in their face that says, "I have no idea what I'm going to do. I don't know how this is going to work out." These are just a few of the things that bring about discouragement. And you know, God has not left us alone in these matters. We know that we can rely upon Him. He's told us so many times that He's there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes these words. And we use these a lot at funerals and when people have passed. And he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction." And we can stop right there and say, "Thank you, God. Man, we're glad you're there. We're glad that you offer this kinds of things." But you know what? He didn't stop right there. He said, "I want you to be involved too. I want you to think about these things too." Because he goes on and he says, "So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Folks, as Christians, we need to share with those who have distresses. We need to let them know not only do we just speak a care for them, but that we do what we can do. It's times like this that we often, and it's something that we shouldn't do, but we often feel less valuable. We often feel more lost, and we need someone who loves us enough to come and share with us in those situations. Second group, our church family. You know, there are so many members of our Glenpool family here that contribute countless hours, their time, their money, in all the various ministries of the Lord's church here. Being a part of some of those and watching some of them work, we need to encourage these folks. But we also need to help them. We need to be a part of those things because that will encourage when they know we care and we help. I believe our ministers, our elders, our deacons, our Bible school teachers, the youth leaders, secretaries, nursery attendants, greeters, workroom workers, prison ministers, well, let's just put us all in there. Every single member needs a word of encouragement from time to time. And we ought to think about those things. We ought to think about all those people and what they do and how they work. We need to recognize our young people and we need to encourage them. I'm talking about from this size up. They are beginning to focus on things. They're beginning to set values and priorities. And we need to be, one, an example to them that shows them what God, how God wants us to live. And we need to encourage them to learn all they can about God. And thank you and bless you who teach these kids about these things. We need to be thankful and encourage our elderly. Sometimes we get older, we think we're not worth much anymore. We need to thank our elderly for their faithfulness. We need to thank our elderly for the experiences they've had that they share and the examples that they give us. And we need to let them know you're valuable. Value does not have an age with God. We need to let each and every one know that they're valuable to Him. What happens when we do this? Again, as I said a while ago, it's not mandatory. But you know, it helps for us to renew our dedication. I think it stimulates, when someone encourages you, it stimulates you to even a greater service for the Lord. As I said, it's good to feel valuable. It's good to provide those feelings to someone and help them to understand that you still have a wonderful purpose in the Lord's church. So we need to encourage our church family. Third, we need to encourage new converts. What a thrill the other night to watch Tucker be baptized. Especially as Ben said, when he was a little bitty guy. He's a boy. Oh, he was honoring. He's a boy. He's a boy. Leave it there. And to see him stand right up here and say, you know what? I believe Jesus Christ is God's Son. And I want Him to lead my life. Sometimes I'm afraid we may be a little lax in our encouragement for new converts. You know, after they're baptized, we wait and they come out and we hug their neck and we tell them we love them, and we do, and we should, and we congratulate them on what they've done. But then sometimes we send them out the door and say, sick them. We wouldn't do that to a new baby in our home. We need to constantly encourage new Christians as to their new life. We need to let them and make them aware that, guess what? Sin is still there. Guess what? Satan's still after you. Satan still wants to destroy your life. We need to encourage them to continue studying God's Word, that they might get even a more fuller idea of God's plan for their life, and we need to be an example for them and encourage them through our lives to grow and be stronger. You know, Paul was aware of the vulnerability of new Christians, and you read, and as you read about his journeys, he went back and revisited so many places for that very reason, to encourage new Christians and new believers, to try to help them not fall away from the things that they know that they need to be doing. And so we need to encourage new Christians. And finally, of course, we need to encourage those outside the body of Christ who are lost, as well as those who've fallen away from the faith. Two questions come to my mind here. As a church family, as a Christian, do we really see the urgency to reach out to someone who doesn't know God at all? And secondly, am I really concerned enough about those who've left the faith to personally encourage them to return to God? Jesus shared in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of them out there that need help. There are a lot who are lost, who are looking for something they can't find on their own. But he said the sad part is there's not that many workers. There's not that many who are willing to encourage or share the good news. He also shared with us, if we want to be great, the road to that point is service. It's learning to serve. And folks, what greater motivation could we have than to realize the joy of encouraging someone about their soul? And setting in a place, a setting just like this, and seeing the reality of that soul coming to Christ, repenting of their sins, confessing him to be the Son of God, and then being buried in baptism to wash away their sins. How could it be a greater joy? Or what greater joy could we imagine than encouraging a wayward brother or sister and seeing that person come back to Christ? And we don't take the credit for that. It's God that changes hearts. But what a feeling to know that we encouraged them. We shared with them that we love them as well as God who loves them. That's what we need to be about. As I said to begin with, we are encouraged by so many things in God's Word. By faith, we believe that God is, and that He rewards those who seek Him. By faith, we believe that God created everything, that He sustains everything, and that He is in control of all things, and He will be forever and ever. By faith, we believe sin entered this world, and it separated from us from God, and it left us in need of something that we couldn't provide for ourselves. By faith, we know that God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to be that perfect sacrifice for our sins when we didn't deserve it. And yet He gave us that living hope. By faith, we believe He overcame death, that He returned to heaven, promising to return again and provide eternal homes for those who choose to obey and serve Him, and that can be you and me. Those words are wonderful, aren't they? They're things we need. Aren't they worth sharing with somebody else? You know, as we grow, we're very careful. When we talk about growth, that we don't deal with numbers a lot. We want to deal with the spirituality, and that's true. That's what we're about. Sometimes we say numbers are not all that important in a congregation as far as members and visitors. But you know what? When we realize that those numbers represent souls, and that those souls are going to spend somewhere in eternity, at the end of time, doesn't that promote an urgency in us as God's children to share and encourage them? Shouldn't that be a part of our life? We're going to sing a song of encouragement here in just a moment. And let me see if I can encourage you just one more time. If you're here this morning and aren't a Christian, you're unable to share in all these blessings and all of these promises. But you can be. If you know what God wants from you, and you're willing to repent of those sins, change your direction. I've taught these little kids for years and years about repentance, and the only way I know to tell them is I'll get one of the little kids to get up, and I say, walk that way. I holler, stop, and they stop. I say, now turn around and come back. I said, you repented. And they go, what? Change your direction. Instead of going toward the world, now you're going to go this way. You're going to go toward God. You're going to go toward His will. Repent of your sins. Confess Him to be Lord, the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism. As we're told, washing away your sins, come out of that water a new person. Sins forgiven. That means there won't be any more no. But it means now you have a living hope. Let me encourage you to do so today if you haven't. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, one time you made that commitment, but things have come about that have put some things between you and God. Let me encourage you. God still loves you. Sometimes we shake our heads and wonder how God could love any of us, but He does. And I can assure you that every member of this church loves you too. If you need to come back this morning and recognizing those needs, rededicating yourself, we'd love to share that with you in any way that we can. If we could help you in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing?